Good morning. It is good to be back this morning. I want to share a thought with you about something from nothing. Paul says to the church at Ephesus in chapter 3, verses 20 and 21, "Now to him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works in us, to him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus to all generations forever and ever. Amen." So let me start off with a question. Do you believe, do you honestly believe that God can do more in the Fulshear Church of Christ than what we could ask or think? I know most of us are going to say yes. And then at times we kind of, the way we act or the things that we do or the way we think might contradict our yes. It's like the story about the little duck congregation who had their little duck preacher. And their little duck preacher one morning got up and he gave a sermon to this little duck congregation. And he said, "I want you to know we waddle everywhere, but we can truly fly." He said, "We can. We've got wings. God has given us wings. And we can use those wings to fly. Do you believe that we can fly?" And I mean, there were quacks of amens all through this little duck congregation. And they were just quacking in affirmation, "Yes, we can fly." And as soon as that final amen was said and services were over, they all waddled out. Sometimes what we believe, in principle, we don't believe in action. So let me ask again, do you honestly believe that God can do more than what we can ask or think? I think he can. I believe he can. My faith is such that he can. And I think there's no greater example of God doing more than what anyone could ask or think than in the very beginning at creation when he made something out of nothing. See, I want you to think about it. Once you embrace and believe the creation story in Genesis chapter 1 and in Genesis chapter 2, once you get right to the heart of believing that God literally spoke by the power of his word this world into existence, once you embrace that God is behind it all, that he is the one true and living God, and that he is the creator of all that we see, and by faith we believe that, once you accept that, then we don't have trouble with the rest of the miracles in the Bible, do we? Like, if we believe this massive miracle that God made something out of nothing, he did more than what anyone could even think presently in this life, by just his spoken word creating something out of nothing, then we're not going to have trouble believing all of those other miracles, like the parting of the Red Sea. And we could go through one miracle after the other in the Old Testament. We're not going to have trouble believing the New Testament story of Jesus in the Gospels and the miracles that he did among people that they were witness to. One miracle after another. And miracles of all kinds, mind you. Even raising people from the dead. We're not going to have trouble believing that Jesus walked on water. I love the story about the little boy who was on a plane and he was with his mom and they were going on a trip. And there was a guy that was sitting there and he was observing this mom and son. And of course the son had a little picture Bible out and he was, you know, reading through it and looking at the pictures, and he said, "Oh, don't tell me you're one of those," the man said to the little boy. And he said, "Sir?" He said, "Oh, you're one of those Christians, aren't you?" And he said, "Well, I believe in God, and I believe God wrote the Bible." And He said, you're not one of those who believe in all those miracles. I mean, because he could see in some of the pictures, you know, some of the miracles that Jesus did. You don't believe all that, do you? He said, well, yes, sir. As a matter of fact, I do. He said, well, do you believe that story about Jonah and the whale swallowing him? And he said, yes, sir, I do. He said, you believe that nonsense? He said, yes, sir, I do. He says, as a matter of fact, I do. He said, I believe God said it, and God, I believe that God did it, and I believe it was a miracle, and I believe, he said, well, just suppose, what do you think will happen if you get to heaven and Jonah's not there? And that little boy thought for a moment, and he said, well, in that case, I guess you'll have to ask him. Some of you got it. Some of you get it on the way home, and if not, ask someone and they'll tell you. But the Bible does say that we walk by faith and not by sight. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 7. And part of walking by faith is believing that God can do more than what we ask or think. And going back to the original part of God's creation, the original story in Genesis chapter 1 and Genesis chapter 2, where God literally in 7 days, or 6 days, created this world, and on the seventh day he rested. And believing and embracing that story is absolutely a part of what we see where God did more than what we could ask, think, or even believe. But because we believe in God, and we believe in God's Word, we accept it by faith. We accept the rest of the miracles in this divine book that we call the Bible. Now I want you to think about it. We walk by faith. None of us were there right when God created the world. We were not there in the very beginning. And so we have to read what God wrote about that creation. And what's interesting is, you know, God doesn't start off in the book of Genesis by giving an apology about himself, or the word apology meaning defense, giving a defense of himself, like, talking about his nature, his divine nature, or talking about himself as being God. He doesn't give a defense for who he is. He starts off by talking about creation. And that's interesting because some people are baffled by that. But I think from just a logical standpoint, how many of us want to know where we came from? Most of us do. You know, how many of us want to know how it all started? Most of us do. And God knows that about us. And so when he started writing his word, the very beginning talks about what he did by way of creation, where we came from. It's naturally assumed there's a God. And whether people believe in that one true and living God, it's proof among people that they believe in gods, plural. I mean, paganism has many gods that are, people have some sort of deity set up in one way, form, or fashion. Now, you and I don't believe in the plurality of gods. We believe in one true and living God. But most people assume there's some source, some being out there that created or that started everything. And so God, that's where he starts. That one true and living God says, I'll answer that question for you. So I want you to think about this when we think about God creating something from nothing. Number one, let's think about God's amazing creation. In Genesis 1 verse 1, in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth. Period. He goes on to describe in the rest of chapter 1 about what he created on those 6 days of creation. He talks about creating man, his crowning glory. And then you get over into Genesis chapter 2, and he gives a little more detailed account of that creation of mankind. Where we came from. How it all started. It's just naturally assumed. If you were walking through the woods, you were going on a hike, and you're walking through the woods, and as you walk through the woods, you come up on this scene. And the scene is such that there are rocks that are formed in a circle, placed very carefully there. You see a pyramid of sticks standing up and on fire. You also see a can of of Diet Mountain Dew. That's the drink of choice. That's the nectar of the gods, by the way. Diet Mountain Dew. You see a half empty can of Diet Mountain Dew there. What do you assume? That it just randomly happened? That just right out here in the middle of the woods, that this thing, that everything was just right, that this storm brewed in and everything was just right, and it placed these rocks in just the perfect form. It put these sticks in a pyramid shape. Somehow with this storm that was just brewing at the right time, made these sticks catch fire. And somehow over a long period of time, this Diet Mountain Dew can was formed, and it was just the right amount, a half a can of Diet Mountain Dew. Do you think that that would be reasonable? Or would you just naturally conclude, you know what, someone else has been here. Someone else did this. Like someone also was in the woods and decided to camp, and, you know, they made a fire, and, you know, they brought their drink of choice, and they have everything that's needed for a camp and a camp out. I mean, that would be the natural conclusion, right? Well, yes. When we look, and I want to tell you the detail of this awesome creation that God has made. The earth, the sky, the body is way more complex than that little campsite that we just described. And if we would understand even from the simplest of illustrations that the natural conclusion is someone's been here, someone set that up, we must assume that with the complexity of this world, of the heavens, the sky, and also this body. Again, this universe is a million times more complex than that simple campfire. I think it's thoughts like that that we get when we hear the psalmist say in chapter 14, verse 1, "The fool has said in his heart, 'There is no God.'" I mean, wouldn't you assume that it's foolish to believe that this campfire just happened? It just happened. Just by randomness and chance and a storm. Again, the psalmist is concluding it's foolish to look at this creation, this created world with all of its complexity and say there is no God. That is foolish thinking. There was a man who was standing looking out at the Mississippi River. How many of you have actually witnessed, seen the Mississippi River? Have you seen the Mississippi River at flood stage? I have on many occasions. And this man was actually looking out over the Mississippi River when it was at flood stage. And what he noticed was he noticed all of this debris, this massive amounts of debris that was just flowing down the river. And here's what he thought to himself. He said, "For hundreds of years, that river has poured all sorts of debris into the ocean." Does anyone know where the Mississippi River ends? Gulf of Mexico? Yeah, yeah. If you just follow it all along, it's going to dump right into the Gulf of Mexico. But he said, the ocean must be terribly polluted. But then he remembered that the ocean is made up of salt water, and salt corrodes and eats away at the pollution. I want you to think about this. God, in His creative genius, developed a water purification system right there in the ocean. You know what that salt does to all of that debris that ends up in the ocean over time? It takes care of it. It just naturally takes care of it. Ecclesiastes chapter 1, verse 7. I want you to think about this verse. It's a pretty powerful thought. Ecclesiastes chapter 1, verse 7. "All the rivers run into the sea, yet the sea is not full." Now, I've got a question. Why? I mean, if they all run into it, why is it not full? Well, that's not what the Ecclesiastes writers, that's my question. He says, "To the place from which the rivers come, there they return again." Again, you know what that salt does? You know what happens over time with the sun out in the ocean? It evaporates. You know where it goes? And what it returns to? Rain. You know what that rain does? Puts water right back in those rivers and streams and lakes. You know what those lakes do? They flow right back to the place where they need to, back into the ocean, the sea. It's like this process that God has created. That's why the sea is never full. All the rivers run in the sea, yet the sea is not full. Isn't that amazing that when you think about the complexity, and that's just thought. I mean, there are thousands of these in Scripture. I say thousands, that's an exaggeration. There are many that give this very thing that God, in the very beginning, created the heavens and the earth. And you might remember in Psalm 19, verse 1, the heavens declare the glory of God and the firmament shows His handiwork. When we look out at creation again, we conclude with the psalmist, only a fool would say that God did not create this world. And again, God starts in the very beginning, not giving a defense of Himself, but talking about how He created the world. God's amazing creation. In Romans chapter 1, verse 20, for since the creation of the world, His invisible attributes are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even His eternal power and Godhead. You know what Genesis, in one sense, is doing? By God explaining the creation, is that He's saying this creation is screaming out about His Godhead and about His divinity. His invisible attributes are clearly seen in creation. This creation is screaming out, there is an amazing God. How many of you believe there's an amazing God? This God made something from nothing. And we, again, just look around us, and all creation cries out about our amazing God. But I want you to also think about how we need to have faith in this awesome God. We sing the song, Our God is an Awesome God. Don't we? Do we believe that? He is an awesome God. And when we think about His greatness, we think about His majesty, we think about His divinity, His the fact that He did for us what we could not do for ourselves. That's the God we place our faith in. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen, for by it the elders obtained a good testimony. By faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the Word of God, so that the things which are seen were made of things which are, were not made of things which are visible. Again, we believe that this invisible God created this very visible world, and this very visible world is crying out that there's a God. And what the Hebrew writer is saying here in these first three verses is, we accept all of this by faith. And then you look at verse 6, and we understand that since we weren't there, that God created the world and everything in it, we accept God's explanation of how the world came into existence. And that's what pleases God, is that we accept it by faith. We believe that He said it, He did it, and that settles it. Someone said, without faith, you cannot please God. Without faith, your life has no ultimate meaning. Without faith, you have no explanation of your origin. Without faith, you have no anticipation of future beyond death. Someone used this illustration, and I thought it was a pretty fair illustration. Someone said, just imagine for a moment that a tightrope walker is about to walk across the Niagara Falls on a wire. And just before he begins, suppose he receives a message that the cable is not really secure at the other end. Now, he can't see it, but someone says, it's not really secure at the other end. And then suppose that a messenger, that same messenger comes up and says, oh, by the way, it's not really secure on this side either. But have a nice trip. I mean, only a fool would take a step, right? But I want you to think about it. That's what we're asking. That's what this current society, our current world, is asking our kids to believe. Right at this end, we don't know how things came together. We kind of think it was this, you know, lightning bolt that hit a gob of goo and it just all started to form and happen. And so on one end of the tightrope, it's like there's no real explanation. And on the other end, there's no real future goal in mind. Where are we all ending up? Well, there's no heaven in the minds of most in the world. But we're telling our kids, have a nice trip. Enjoy the walk. When they don't know how they started or where they're going. Well, kind of makes sense, doesn't it, when we see people that just are living to get all the gusto they can? I mean, if there's no real goal in mind, if there's no God who created us and there's no heaven that we're heading toward, then just live for the moment. Drink it up. Drug it up. Live immorally in whatever way, form, or fashion you want to. Just do whatever you want. And you know what? Is that what we're seeing in this current world in which we are living? Yes. So it doesn't surprise us when people are telling them that there's no real beginning and there's no real ending. It's just what happens in this life. And you just live for yourself and do what you want to do and enjoy it. Eat, drink, be merry, for today we live and tomorrow we die. But when we think about God's amazing nature, we put our faith, our trust, our hope in Him. Someone said, life without God is a hopeless end. But life with God is an endless hope. That's what we believe. We believe that God made something from nothing, and that this great God wants us to walk by faith, trusting Him. What does Proverbs chapter 3 verses 5 through 7 say? Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Basically, don't follow your own way of thinking. Lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge Him. That He is the one true and living God, that He's the Creator, that He started it all and He's got a plan for the end of it all. And that what He did in between those two moments was sent Jesus Christ so that we could understand that God, who created everything in the beginning, had a plan before He laid the foundation of the world, Ephesians chapter 1. And that He predetermined before He ever laid the foundation of this world, that He would save His creation, mankind, that we read about in Genesis chapter 1. That if they sin, there would be a plan to save them from their sin. And that everyone, God predetermined, everyone who is in Christ is predetermined as they live faithfully in Christ to enjoy the glories of heaven with Him forever. And everyone who is outside of Christ is destined for condemnation. And so let's think about this. This great God who created something out of nothing and did for us what we simply don't deserve, is that He wants us to, one word, believe. Believe that He can. Believe that He can right here at Fulshear. Right here among the Church of Christ. That He can do more in us and with us than what we can ask or what we can think. I mean, just think about it. We're talking about the God who is amazing and has created a wonderful creation. We're talking about a God who did for us what we don't deserve, and that He gave us Jesus. And how awesome is this God who tells us how we started and where we're going. And He wants us in this life to live by faith. He wants us to understand, as He is that God, that He can do amazing things among us. How many of you believe that? I mean, I think about our youth group. Hasn't He been doing some amazing things in our youth group? I mean, I look at a guy like Danny DePetta. I know Danny 10 years ago was not thinking about youth ministry. Were you? And at that moment in your life, it was the farthest thing from it. But what can God do? More than Danny could ask or imagine. How many of you people know you and yet you became a Christian anyway? And they're like, wow, I never thought that would happen. That's what I think about Keith every day. How can a guy like that give his allegiance to Jesus Christ? Well, because God can do more than what we ask or think. You know, I think about the humble beginnings of this church. And look at where we are now. And all of those naysayers and all of those head shakers. And I just say, look, God can do more than what we can ask or think. I mean, I walked out to the building site yesterday. And I looked at it and I thought, wow, it's coming along. It's going to happen. God can do more than what we can ask or think. I don't talk much about money. And there's a reason for it. Not that the Bible talks about it. I just don't talk about it much, preach on it much. Most people have a preconceived idea about churches and preachers and money. But I will tell you that not long ago, someone stood right up here and said, you know what? We've been given the opportunity to match $650,000. As a congregation. And if we match that, there's going to be a gift of $650,000. 1.2, I don't know what's the math on that, someone? 1.2? 1.3? Keith, you're the money guy, yeah. 1.3 million? You know what I thought about when that announcement was made? Now let me just say, all of the funding is in place for the building. There's no worries with that. What would be nice is that if we were able to pay that note down with that 1.3 million, make our payments lesser every month. But you know what I thought when that was mentioned up here? I'm sure some of you thought, there's no way this group of 100 could do that. Believe in principle, but not in practice? I believe God can do more than what we ask or think. Do you? Is that a challenge we cannot reach? I mean, if so, let's just say it now and quit. Or do we believe, do we have faith that there are people right here who are living by faith and will meet that goal? I believe it. I mean, did you bring your checkbook this morning? I'm just teasing. I'll stop there with the money talk. But you know what we're about to do? We're about to add elders. And some people are thinking, you know what? There's just not any here. Not any good men. No qualified, no faithful men. Someone actually said that, believe it or not. God can do more than what we ask or think. I believe there are several qualified men sitting among us. As long as we're trying to do things God's way and we're submitting our will to His, or than what we ask or think. Robert always says, how big of a church do you want? And my answer always, as big as God wants us to be. Because God can do more than what we ask or what we think. Think about your life at this moment. Are you where you want to be? Are you asking God to do great things through you? To help you step outside of your comfort zone? And to walk by faith, by a crazy faith, believing that God can move mountains in your life and in your path so that He can do more through you than what you could even imagine. That's what God is saying to us this morning through His Word. Is that He can take us and He can make something out of nothing. I want you to think about it. I mean, how successful will we be when we learn to walk by faith? There's nothing we can't do as the people of God in Fulcher, Texas. Amen? Now let's not waddle out this morning. Let's remember we have wings and God wants us to soar. And let's use them. Where are you this morning? Are you walking by faith as a child of God? If not, this is your moment. Dan's going to lead us in a song. I hope this will be a moment of encouragement for you to step out in faith, to walk by faith and acknowledge that you're not and that you need help, but you want to be better and you want God to do amazing things for you and through you. It could be that you've never started the journey. You've never become a Christian. But you know there is a God and you believe that He sent Jesus and specifically to die for you. And if you believe that, acknowledge Him. Give Him your allegiance this morning. Confess Him as Lord and be immersed in the waters of baptism to have your sins washed away. If we can help you in your response to walk by faith this morning, then step out in faith and come as together we stand and as we sing.